The last piece of writing done by one of America's greatest writers was a series of letters he sent back from the front lines of war at the age of 64. John Steinbeck, who won the Nobel Prize for Literature for a life's work in which he wrote about many of those people who'd been roughed up by history, including Of Mice and Men and The Grapes of Wrath, went to South Vietnam and covered the war there firsthand, sending his impressions back home in a series of letters that appeared in Newsday. Those dispatches have now been collected and published as a book for the first time, Steinbeck in Vietnam, Dispatches from the War. The volume is edited by Thomas E. Barton, a professor at the University of Toledo. He joins us from the studios of WDET in Detroit. Thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure to be here.
How did these dispatches come about?
Well, they were part of the relationship of Harry Guggenheim, the owner of Newsday, and John Steinbeck. And they cooked up this notion that he should write for Newsday. And Steinbeck was sort of not so sure about all that. But then the war in Vietnam heated up, and one of Steinbeck's sons was in it, and his other son was going to it. And then suddenly he wanted to be there. So he made this arrangement with Guggenheim that he would go on behalf of Newsday.
Didn't Lyndon Johnson also ask him to take a look at it?
Yes, yes. And that's a fascinating part of this story, because he and Lyndon Johnson were friends as well. But Steinbeck kept saying to everyone who asked, "I'm not going as Johnson's man. I want to go on my own."
Yeah. What were his views on the war in Vietnam before he went, as contrasted to when he was there and then when he came back?
You know, all along that time frame, he sort of had two views. And he had some doubts, but as soon as he took this on, he never mentioned them. If you read the dispatches, as if he truly believes it as much as Lyndon Johnson did, the winnability. But in private letters, which he was writing at the same time, he was sort of indicating, you know, this is kind of a mess. He sort of knew that you can't occupy someone else's country, but he bought into the whole notion that communism had to be stopped.
Let me get you to read a section which I found. Firstly, it reminds us what a wonderful observer and writer Steinbeck could be. And then
right.
I think it introduced some complexity of viewpoint. I guess he's in northern Thailand, where communist troops had been active, and he talks about going through there with troops.
One day we passed through three villages where the communists had been at work. No one has to tell you. You know. The children run and hide. Only a few young men stand around sullenly staring at the ground. They will not reply to a greeting. The women and old people peer from the semi-darkness of the stilted houses, and then you know that in the brush nearby there are men with guns watching every move. And when we move on, if any villager has given us aid or comfort, even to the extent of ordinary courtesy, that villager will be punished viciously, maybe killed. Does this seem melodramatic? It isn't. It happens every day. The agents of liberation do not change. Their currency never varies. Promises of a better life in the future, but for the present, absolute obedience with the alternatives of torture and death, not only of the rebel, but his children and relatives. I wonder how brave we would be if everyone we love and revered were held as surety for our conformance by an enemy to whom pity is a weakness and forgiveness a completely foreign conception. How brave would we be? The thought makes us hesitant about giving advice before we offer protection.
That's a complicated view.
Yeah, yeah. And it got more nuanced as he went along. It really, you can just see it from the first one to the last.
John Steinbeck would die just a couple of years after these columns appeared at the age of 66. What does having them available now, reading them, do to amplify our memory of him and our appreciation of him as a literary craftsman?
These are not uniformly great, of, you know, of the order of Grapes of Wrath or something, but they are John Steinbeck, and they are that writing that it's idiosyncratic. To me, the shame was just that it lots of things conspired to make them not available for 40 years now, and I'm just glad they're back. You
know? What were the things?
Well, people worried about his reputation, saying maybe we should just never speak of these again. You know, a lot of people on the left felt there was a deep betrayal, and that attitude sort of went on for a long time, including within his family. I think his widow really didn't want him out.
And how do you feel about that? Does this necessarily diminish his reputation?
I think his reputation has been sort of proven itself. I just want everything this man wrote should be on the shelf, and now it is.
Thomas Barton, he's edited the new book, Steinbeck in Vietnam, Dispatches from the War, from the University of Virginia Press. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.